What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast, listener stories edition.
Pew, 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 pew! And the 50th episode!
Woohoo! Welcome to our 50th episode, the 50th Yay. Episode of Inhuman. I cannot
Who are
believe
we?
It.
We did it, 50 episodes, guys. Like, thanks for sticking around and listening to us. If you listen to every episode, you guys are the real MVPs.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. So we wanted to do something special for our 50th episode. We wanted to share some listener and host stories.
Yes.
So we've asked you guys over the last couple of weeks to send in listener stories, and we appreciate so much those that have been sent in. And to be honest, I have not read most of them. Andrea's the one that's read most of them and put this together, so I'm going to be just as shocked as you guys listening. But we are going to share those, and Andrea has said some of them are pretty crazy, so we're excited. And we're also going to share a couple of our own ghosty true crime experiences.
Yeah.
But before we get into it, we just want to say how thankful we are for all of you. If you're listening to this on the day that it's released, today is American Thanksgiving. So we just wanted to share how thankful we are for all of you guys. All of your support really means the world to us.
Yes.
You guys are really amazing. You make us so happy. I don't think you guys realize like how much it means to us when we see how many of you guys are listening, and when you guys share reviews or tag us in your stories when you're listening or anything. Like, it really means so much to us.
Yes, it does. Like, we're still like shocked that people want to listen to us. I know some people don't, and that's fine, but it's just every day we're like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy that we're like doing this. So we do. Hashtag grateful, thankful, blessed.
And we couldn't do this without you guys. So we appreciate you so much, and we're extra thankful for you today on Thanksgiving. On our 50th episode. It's crazy that it all lined up like that.
Yeah. And this is going to be like a little bit more lighthearted. So if that's not your jam, feel free to skip it. That's completely fine, because we're going to be probably giggling and cussing and, you know.
Yeah. This is like Inhuman off the cuff. Like,
right. Exactly. And I did like I did compile these together, but I didn't like read a lot of them just because I wanted to kind of be surprised. And also, if you guys have more listener stories, send those in. Keep sending them in, because we would love to do more of these. And make sure if it's a listener story, you title it listener story, because I know like we were asking for case suggestions and listener stories, and it was like kind of confusing. But if you have something that you want to share, like that an experience has happened to you, just make sure you put that in the subject line so we can find it a little more quickly. So thanks for sending
those in. And you can
put
whatever you want in the subject line, but just also include listener story so we know.
Yes. Yes. I know. We got a really funny one. And I was like cracking up laughing.
I'm so excited. Oh my God. I just remembered my dream from last night.
Really?
We were recording our listener story episode, but beforehand you came up to me and you were with someone else.
Was it Nick Jonas?
I wouldn't be surprised. Also, I'm gonna include this in this episode. Okay. So we were recording this and you came up to me, and Ash and Elena from Morbid were also there.
Ooh.
And you were with someone else, and I don't know who it was, but you were like, so we had this idea, instead of listener stories, we're going to share one of my stories first, and then one listener story, and then we're going to do this whole skit thing with my other story. And you guys were like dressed up. I don't know who you were with, but you were dressed up with like makeup, and you had this whole skit, and I was sitting there like, and then I was like, is this going to be good for a podcast?
No one can see
it. And then you were
Andrea.
Kind of like, maybe. And then I felt embarrassed because Ash and Elena were there. And I was like, wow, we're such immature, like, podcasters. We don't know what we're doing. And I was worried. But I also didn't want to upset you because you were so excited about this, like, skit that you were going to do.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus. This is what happens when don't participate in the planning of everything, because Andrea put all of the listener stories together and like set up this whole episode, but I'm such a planner, so I think like just not knowing like what the you had done, even though I knew that you like
I just copy and paste it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what happens too when I have too much sugar before bed, so that definitely happened last night.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry guys, I literally just remembered that.
That's so funny.
All right, let's get into the listener stories.
Okay, let's do
it. So the first one. Oh, also, before we get into it, you guys, just like FYI, you can always send it in anonymously. Like, if you don't want your name to be shared, go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to share this one because
I just put their first name. Yeah, I just put their first names, I think, for all of them.
But yeah, you can always like change names. You can not be whoever share your name, you want to be. Us, yeah, ask us to not share your name, whatever you want. Okay, the first one, the subject is listener story, and it's from Tamara, maybe Tamara. I apologize. So they said, hello, my story is true crime / human trafficking related. It happened about 5 years ago when I was parking in a craft store parking lot in the middle of the day in rural Northern California. I had just gotten an oil change and was meeting my sister to shop together. I parked between two fairly large cars and began to get out of my car when I realized a brown van with no windows in back had blocked my car in from behind. Oh my God, this is making me so anxious.
No windows? Like, okay, creeper, creeper.
And now your car's blocked in? Oh my God. There was a 4-foot cement wall in front of my car, too, so I was immediately very aware of how confined I was. Oh my God, I'm, like, getting so anxious for you. I mean, obviously, you're sending us the story, but, like, oh my gosh.
We're glad you're alive.
Yes. The driver of the car was on the far side from me with their seat fully leaned back, so I couldn't see their face. And because there aren't any windows on the van, I have no idea who else was in the van. But the passenger was a man in his mid to late 30s who began frantically motioning for me to come to the back of my car because the bumper is falling off. No.
No, it's not. You're lying. You're lying.
Since I had just gotten an oil change, I immediately was suspicious, so I didn't move towards him. Smart. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Good job. But he kept being like, oh my gosh, what happened? It's so bad. Come look. I can fix it for you. Okay, that's so sus. Like, no way. Good for you for not going back there. Like,
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I kept saying no thank you. Finally, I just climbed over the cement wall into a planter and booked it into the craft store. Good for you.
I had done the same thing.
Amazing. Once inside, I began to question myself and wonder if I had overreacted and maybe the oil change people had messed up my car. No, you're never overreacting. Never question overreacting.
Especially when you're alone.
Your safety.
Yeah.
But just to be safe, my sister and I asked the store employee to walk with us to the car. My car was 100% fine. Oh my God.
That's so scary.
I ended up giving a statement to the police just so it was on record, and I posted on a local page and had 4 other women comment that they had similar experiences locally with the same kind of brown van.
No. I've seen stories like this in the mom group that I'm in.
Oh,
like, not the brown van specifically, but, like, the same, like, identifying features of, like, a guy who was, like, following them around Walmart or, like, followed them to their car, asked to help with their groceries, like, stuff like that. I've heard, like, these kind of stories before, and they freak me out.
Holy shit.
People are so evil.
Yeah. I have no idea what they planned that day, but I really hope no one else found out.
So do we.
Yeah.
So do we.
Signed, Tamara, or Tamara. Sorry that I don't know the right way to pronounce it, but holy shit.
That's so scary. I'm glad your sister was with you, because at least, like, you had another person to, like, vouch for you, which is, like, so sad that I even have to say that. But, you know, people are always thinking you're overreacting. But in these situations, like, you did the right thing. You got the hell out of there. You didn't go. Because, like, sometimes people want to be polite and be like, oh, I'll go. I'll just go see if my bumper's hanging off. And then next thing you know it, you're in, you know, some other country and all out of your mind, sex trafficked. So.
Yeah. That's so scary. And, like, good for you for, one, knowing to not go back there, for booking it into the store, and for having an employee come out. Like, that is honestly, like, one of the reasons I'm so glad I listen to true crime, because I'm, like, so aware of that type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Being super aware of your surroundings, like, to a fault, which is good.
Yeah. Holy shit. That is, like... Oh, I'm, like, anxious about that. Okay, everybody, just remember, it is okay to be rude.
Crime junkie. Morph together word. Crime junkie says, be weird, be rude, stay alive. Yeah, stay be alive. Fucking rude.
Literally, never feel bad for being rude, especially as a woman, especially when you're alone. But, like, no, strangers do not deserve your politeness. I mean, don't be mean to people that are, like...
minding their business.
yeah. If they're minding their own business. But whenever a stranger is talking to you, they do not deserve your politeness. Like, especially if you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And don't be fooled if it's, like, a woman or, like, a woman with a child or something. Like, doing this exact... If this was that situation and, like, it was a woman, I just don't trust anyone. Yeah. Don't trust anybody. Nobody. No. Except for, like, your mom. And even then, sometimes some people can't even trust their mom.
Yeah, true. But, yeah, don't trust anybody. Don't feel bad being rude. I'm so glad that you're safe and you guys reported it. Good for you for going and reporting it and sharing about it. I can't believe 4 other people had a similar experience. Like, that's clearly they were trying to get you.
Yes. Whew.
Okay. Wow, starting off strong.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one is titled, again, Listener Story, and it is from Abby. She put a second name, but I'm not going to say it just in case she wants to have some anonymity. But it says, Listener Story, the time my mom told a demon to get the fuck out of her room.
I love that.
I know. Hello, beautiful ladies. So you mentioned listener stories again, so I thought... it was a perfect time to tell you my weird ass story about my Jesus loving mom who don't take no shit from demons. I grew up Pentecostal, speaking in tongues, dancing down church aisles, the whole nine, which I can totally relate to that. That's one of the reasons I chose to read this story. Although my faith has definitely shifted since I was younger, I still have always believed in the spiritual realm, whether that's ghosts, demons, angels, etc. Whatever the fuck is in that crazy ass dimension it's for reals there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. So anyway, my mom was for sure the powerhouse of prayer and pretty much thought anything could be solved by it. Not always wonderful, but she always had the best intentions in the world. I learned later that I'm an empath and am sensitive to things around me. To move along, me and my dad were huge movie buffs. I loved thrillers, but growing up in a super religious household, I didn't get to explore much. Like, I had to sneak to my friends' houses to pump. This is like my sister's lives. I had to sneak to my friends' houses to pump Britney Spears while... binging gushers?
Like binge eating?
Like binge eating gushers? Yeah, I guess. That makes sense. And drinking those weird wax Kool-Aid bottles that were gone.
I remember those. I love them.
My childhood. I finally got my dad to hop on to some light creep vibes. We went to Blockbuster. What even is life anymore? And picked up a thriller starring Robin Williams. Ooh, I bet I know what this is going to be. R.I.P. Couldn't be that bad, right? Wrong. My dad was never the real spook of the family and was extremely logical. We brought the movie in the house, popped a butt fuck load of popcorn and settled in.
I love your storytelling. I know. This is amazing. Like, Abby, you should be a storyteller.
Yeah. When we hit the start button, the movie began in a POV of a child walking through some sort of Christmas party, and it hit me like a motherfucking brick slammed into my stomach. I felt sick. You know that giant bubble in your belly that happens when you know something is wrong? Yeah, that. Nothing had even happened yet in the movie, just the credits rolling and us seeing through the eyes of a small child. My dad and I said nothing and didn't even look at each other. The feeling grew and my eyes started to water, and then all of a sudden I felt like I was going to cry. I looked at my dad and he looked at me. I shit you not, at the same time, my dad and I said, "We need to turn this off."
Oh my God.
We had both been feeling the same thing.
Oh,
no reason
my God.
At all. We felt it and we knew. We stopped the DVD and took a breath. All of a sudden, my mom busts out of her master bedroom like someone had just told her there was another 10 for 10 sale at Kroger. I'm dying. Okay. She was frantic. She was breathing heavily and yelled at us and asking us what we were doing. We explained that we started watching this movie, but we felt weird and turned it off. She cuts us off and yelled, I came out of the bathroom and there was a demon in the bedroom. Immediately, I was like, oh my God. She did it. My mom finally did shrooms and I totally missed the party. Totally kidding. This woman never even had a cigarette in her life. My dad and I didn't question her at all, though. She explained that she came out of the bathroom and the demon was standing there. So she stood her ground and said, "What are you doing here?" Like, he's her cousin that just popped in from out of town. Like, okay, mom, are you going to offer him some iced tea and a casserole next? He replied to her, "You let me in here." Fucking shivers. Holy fuck. Who sent out the demon invite, and why didn't they at least tell him to ring the fucking doorbell first? I was terrified. My parents always talked about demons in a very realistic way, but never in our lives have we had a one-on-one convo with the devil himself. Like, what the fuck? She replied back, "You get the hell out of this house." Linda chuckled to myself that she, wait, oh, kinda, I guess is what she meant. Kinda chuckled to myself, because I was going to say my mom's name is Linda. This is getting creepier by the second. Okay. Kinda chuckled to myself that she used the verbiage, "Hell, hee hee." She began praying a bit, and that's when she came busting out. Our assumption was that something was for sure attached to the DVD, and we apparently just let it in unknowingly. Fucking Blockbuster. This is why they are close. Just sending demons willy. Did I write this? Just sending demons willy-nilly to poor mama's trying to take a bath. The fuck? So,
and
yeah.
This is why I always liked Hollywood Video better than Blockbuster.
That's so funny. We had like one Hollywood Video and like 55 Blockbuster, so.
Yeah. I think we only had one of each, but we always went to Hollywood Video and then like that closed and we had to go to Blockbuster. And I was like, this is weird. I don't like this.
I don't like this as much. So yeah, we all know it happened and we still talk about it to this day like it was just another day in the life. I have a lot more stories, but this one, please send them in. Please, please,
yes.
Please send them in. Send them all in.
I need more stories from you, Abby.
But this is one that for sure stuck with me and helped me realize I'm very sensitive to spirits. But who wouldn't be if you met a demon just wanting to sit and chat with your mom about how he was invited here? And it was a fucking rude question to him. Rude to question him. Keep up the good work. Signed, Abby.
Oh, Abby. My.
That was so good.
Round of applause.
That was
literally
so good. That made me laugh so much.
Best storytelling. And also, what the fuck?
That's terrifying, first of all, and hilarious. And it's weird because we're talking about a demon, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's really creepy. But yes. Especially that your dad
felt it too.
Yeah.
Ugh. And now I'm curious which movie you were watching. Kind of curious.
Kind of, but also I don't want to know.
I've probably seen it because I like went through a Robin Williams phase where I watched like all his darker movies and I was like, Anyway.
To be honest, I didn't know Robin Williams had darker movies because I'm on like the Mrs. Doubtfire train. So
well, that's kind of what happened. I like found one and then I spiraled and wanted to watch them all. There's not many. There's like a handful.
He's amazing. So I'm sure they were all great, but
yeah.
I'm not a scary movie person, as we all know by now. So
yeah. Well, that was awesome, Abby. Send more in. Send them in.
Yes. That was so good. Yeah, I want all your stories.
Yes.
I need more storytelling.
I know.
Okay. Next up, we have titled Listener Story from Sabrina. So just to jump right in, a few years back, my sister and I finally figured out who Darcy was. Okay. So growing up, the name was mentioned a few times and was hushed by other people, so no one talked about her. Okay. That makes a little more sense. We started getting really curious and started digging. So I have all the news articles and books that have been written about Darcy. I feel like there's so much that I don't/won't be able to type out, so spark notes. Darcy was faking a pregnancy and family, started asking when she was going to have a baby, as it had been way longer than 9 months at this point. Oh gosh.
I know, like, awkward.
She sat in the front of the hospital on base and saw a pregnant woman and convinced her to get in the car and go with her. Oh my god. Darcy drove her off base and they got out of the car and she cut her baby out with car keys. What the fuck?
I was like, this sounds like a Lifetime movie.
Literally.
Like a really bad one.
Oh my gosh. I would love to chat with you guys and give you whatever I can. I have talked with my grandma about it a few times, as she was a huge part of the trial and support for my aunt. Her name is Darcy Pierce, if you want to look it up. I need more details. Can you write in again? And share.
I know. I'm like, was Darcy your aunt? Or was the pregnant woman your aunt? But I think Darcy was her aunt.
Darcy was the... Yeah.
That's what it sounds like
okay,
to me.
Okay, you need to share what you've talked with your grandma about. She said, sorry, this is so messy. I've tried writing this out multiple times, and I just have so much information I didn't know where to start. Thank you for taking the time, and please feel free to reach out to me. I would love to discuss this case with you, Sabrina. Yes, send us an email with more details. We would love, like, the stories your grandma knows, how this relates to your family exactly. Like, I need all of this.
And why was she faking her pregnancy? Was there, like, a man involved? Like...
Did she just want a family? Why did she cut out? How did she cut out a baby with car keys?
I don't want to know that part. I don't want to know that part. That sounds sad and scary. And did the woman survive? I would assume maybe not. I don't know.
Oh my god.
That's so scary.
Yes.
We have so many questions.
But that was, like, mind-blowing. So, yeah, feel free to write in with more details.
Yeah, exactly. The next one, again, is Listener Story, and it's from Allison, and she wrote, freshman year of college, I lived in an old dorm building that was said to be haunted.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. One night, my floor mates and I decided to use a Ouija board. Never use a Ouija board. Never.
I will never touch one of those.
No. That's where I draw the line.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised, Andrea. I could see you as somebody who would want to do that.
I've used one. It was not mine when I was in 7th grade. But luckily we did not, and nothing bad happened. I don't even know if it worked. We were just a bunch of like giggly, like 12 and 13 year old girls.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea what I know now. Like, I didn't know then what I know now. And I would never use one again. So,
yeah,
don't use them. At first, it seemed like all fun and games. When we were about to stop the session after about an hour, we asked if there were any more spirits that wanted to speak to us. The board went to yes. We then asked if it was a good spirit, and the board went to no. At that very moment, a happy birthday sign that had been hung up for over a month came crashing down, and we all felt a strong gush of wind.
Oh my god.
Yeah, there was no windows open. I hope that you close the session, Allison. I hope that, because that's very important if you are going to use a Ouija board to close out your sessions. That way they cannot get through. And I hope that, like, you're fine now. I hope that there's no bad juju around you. Because that's...
Oh, my God. The demon was probably pissed, or the spirit was probably pissed that they asked if he was a good spirit, and it went to no, and then he angrily punched down the happy birthday sign.
Yeah. He's like, fuck this, and like threw it to the ground, and then rushed past all of you, and that was the gush of wind. Was it a cold gush of wind? Because that's usually a spirit, they say, if it's cold.
Oh. Yeah, that's really scary. Thanks, Allison, for terrifying me.
Like, nice, like, ending on a nice, you know, scary note.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so to close out the episode, we just wanted to share a couple of our personal stories. I only have one that I can think of. Well, like, one and a half.
Okay.
And I feel like there's more, so maybe if I think of another one, I'll share it, like, if we do another listener story. And just as, like, a warning, I did not write this out, so I'm probably going to say and like a lot. I didn't write down any even notes on it, so.
Same.
This is just from memory. So, if you guys haven't heard, the Queen Mary, the ship, is very haunted.
Oh.
And it resides in Long Beach, California, which is, you know, in not too far from where I live, and it actually is really close to where we take our dog to the dog beach.
Okay.
And we've been on it a couple times. I was on it with Robert one time, like, really early in our dating. And it was like there was a Christmas thing where they had all these ice sculptures. And then we went on to the Queen Mary after, and it was nighttime, and we were walking around it and felt very freaked out.
Is it like a museum, or can you actually stay there?
You can actually stay there.
Okay, cool. All right.
And we actually, my family was planning to go. They do a whole New Year's Eve thing. And we were planning to do it in 2020, and then 2020 happened. So we want to do it eventually. But I don't know. I'm a little freaked out. And it's known to be very haunted. You guys can, like, look up. Maybe one day we'll cover all the hauntings of it.
Ooh, that would be fun.
It would be a fun one. But my parents had their wedding reception on the Queen Mary.
Oh.
And so they were there, and they didn't, as far as I know, didn't have any ghost experiences themselves when they were there. But their photographer said that he was setting up his camera to, like, check the lighting, and he was the only person, and there was, like, an indoor pool. So he's in this area, doors are closed, it's an indoor pool, there's no windows or anything, or if there are, they're all closed. He's the only one in there setting up his camera, and he turned around, and when he turned back, there were ripples in the pool.
Oh, like someone had just, like, touched it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And he said there was no one in there, and he 100% believed that it was a ghost, somebody trying to mess with him. Yeah.
Wow. That's so creepy. How ominous.
I know. So, yeah, that's my my only, like, real experience that I've had, thankfully. And then my other, like, little half story that's just a sentence. My mom went to Florida State University and graduated right before Ted Bundy was there committing murders. So thankfully she never, you know, was involved in any of that, but, like, right before. So I might like talk to her and see if she has any stories or remembers, you know, anybody who has any stories or anything.
Yeah, that's cool. That's crazy. I didn't know your mom went to college all the way in Florida.
She did. She actually grew up in New York. Oh. And then her parents moved down to Florida after she graduated high school. I think because all the kids had gone down to Florida, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
And so she went to Florida State, and then she lived in Florida for a little bit, and then she came out to California, and she's been out here ever since.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of hitting all the big spots.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been all over. And then my dad was born in Cyprus and grew up in England. So we're just from all
that's
over.
That's so cool. I did know that. I just didn't know about your mom. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Andrea's stories are going to be better, guys. I promise.
Don't hype me up too much. Okay, so the first story that I have is kind of just like, well, I don't know. I don't even know how to start it. But when I lived in Virginia, so if you guys didn't know, I lived in Virginia for many, many years. I'm originally from South Carolina, but I lived in Virginia. And I was living in this like really nice townhouse. It was pretty new. I think it was only like maybe 2 years old at the time. So it wasn't like, you know, this old like haunted house. But I did find out some interesting information about the land that it was built on after I moved out.
Oh, good. I'm glad it was after you moved out.
Yeah. This was like, well, not before the internet, because I'm not that old, but like before you, like before everyone researched every little thing on the internet. So I had experienced a lot of strange things while living in this house, like just in general. And so had several of my friends. So the one instance, a friend of mine, her name's Carrie, my friend Carrie and I, we had gone to a show that evening and she was just going to stay over at my house that night. Cause I had like two guest bedrooms and she was like, you know, we were a little intoxicated after coming home from the show or whatever.
Right.
And she was laying on the bed and she had her eyes closed and she was like facing the door as opposed to facing the wall because the bed was kind of pushed up against the wall. And she had her eyes closed and all of a sudden she said she just felt this like strong hand come down on her pillow in front of her face. Like she felt the wind and the pressure from what seemed like a hand. And of course, when she opened her eyes, it was like pitch black dark, so she couldn't see anything in there. So she just rolled over and was like, please, Lord, let this ghost not bother me. Let me just go to sleep. And she did eventually go to sleep. And then another time, my friend Caitlin and I, and we actually ended up naming the ghost that was in the house, which is kind of silly, but I was like young, so don't judge me. But we called her the Lady in Gray because when we would get glimpses of her, she was like a gray apparition opposed to like white or black or whatever. I don't know. I guess they can be any color. They can be like regular people. But it was always out of like the corner of your eye. But we were in the basement, which we were taking like these ridiculous pictures. I remember this night very well. Also intoxicated. Which maybe that's why all this stuff happened. I don't know. But we heard somebody coming down the steps and I thought it was the person that I was seeing at the time who I lived with. And so we both kind of like ran towards the steps and we saw a gray shadow go up. It was like coming down, but it like rushed back up the steps.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Andrea, I don't like this.
Sorry. And then the last, so there was a lot of little stuff, but these are like the three, I guess, major things that happened. But this one night I was at a work meeting, like a dinner with my boss. And when I came home, the person that I was seeing, he was not there. He was either out or he was out of town. I can't remember, but I came home alone. And as soon as I walked in the door, I had this like feeling of dread wash over me. And it was a cold night, so I had taken off my jacket and kind of hung it on the, like, bottom, the banister of the stairs.
Right.
And I went upstairs, and I was on the phone with my boss. I don't remember why, but he had called me, and we were talking about, like, stuff that I guess we had talked about in the meeting. And all of a sudden, I just, like, you know how you, like, this sounds like I'm crazy, but, like, you hear things in your head, a feeling.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I just heard, leave. So I grabbed my keys and I grabbed my purse and I ran back down the stairs and my jacket was gone. And I ran out the door. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Serious. Swear. Yep. Totally serious. I was on the phone with my boss and I was like, and he like believes in that kind of stuff. Like the guy I worked for at the time. And I told him what, like, I was seeing and experiencing and feeling. Because it was all feelings. I didn't see anything except for that my jacket was missing.
Yeah.
And he was like, get out of there. I ended up staying with a friend that night because I was scared to go back to my house. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever find your jacket?
Yeah, it was in the basement. So then I was like, did I take it off and put it in the basement? But I specifically remember hanging it. I was not intoxicated this time. I specifically remember hanging it on the banister because I would do that when I would come home. I would just throw my jacket there because we didn't have like a coat thing, coat tree or whatever. And so we would just kind of like hang our jackets and stuff like that there.
Oh my God. That's so scary.
But it was like in the floor of the basement when I did go back home like 2 days later.
I would have literally moved out that day. I would not be going back to that house.
Okay, so here's the second story. So Matt, who is my husband now, this is before we got married. We were also living in a townhouse, not the same townhouse. Oh, to tell you about the land that the other house was built on, it was said to be like battlegrounds.
Oh no.
Yeah. And the lady the lady in gray, or, you know, whatever we would call her, she looked like, I could never see exactly what she was wearing, but she was definitely wearing like some sort of dress. So I always thought, like, what if she was wearing like some kind of like colonial type dress or something?
Yeah, very, yeah. I'm all in with that.
Okay. So my next little story is different townhouse, different man. So I was with Matt, my husband now, but we weren't married yet. We were living in a townhouse again. And one night we were laying in the bed, and we always sleep with the TV on, so there's like a little bit of light. And I had just fallen asleep. And we would sleep with our door closed, okay, back then. Just fallen asleep, facing the wall, and all of a sudden I heard like a click, just a very faint clicking noise. And so I like slowly rolled over, and I saw that the bedroom door was open. But it was only open, like, maybe, like, an inch. So I was, like, in my head, I'm thinking, well, maybe the heat kicked on and, like, opened the door. But I got scared anyway, and I woke him up. So we're both laying there. And he gets up, and he searches the house, make sure there's not an intruder, because, you know, I don't know, just to be on the safe side. And he comes back in, and he left the door cracked. Don't know why, but I'm laying there, freaked out, and I'm staring at the crack in the door, and all of a sudden, it goes from about 1 inch to about a foot. So I wake him up again, because he magically fell back asleep, because that's what men do. They just fall asleep whenever they just sleep so well. And we literally sat there, and we watched the door go from a foot to an inch, back to a foot.
Oh my God.
And we were both scared. He was even scared. He got up again, and we were like, get out of our house! Like, screaming at the ghosts. I was like, I wish I knew about sage back then, because I would have saged the shit out of my house, but something was fucking with us, and it scared both of us. Like, at first it didn't scare him, but then it did, because he saw it.
Yeah.
Like, two people saw it with their own eyes. And so.
Oh my God, well, I'm not sleeping tonight. I'm so scared right now. Wow.
So those are my little ghosty stories. Yeah. I have a lot more, but those are the ones that came to my mind first. So.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Well, that was a really good way to end the episode, because that's really fucking creepy. Jeez. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you enjoyed the spooky ass stories. We loved reading those listener stories. So, if we get more, we'll do another one of this. So if you guys have stories, please send them in.
Yeah, we would love to hear it.
But, I hope you guys all have a wonderful weekend. If you are in the U.S. and are celebrating Thanksgiving, we hope you have a wonderful day with your families and a great Black Friday if you do that. I will be decorating for Christmas at my parents' house, because that's our tradition.
Aww.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We love you all so much and appreciate your support over the last 50 episodes. And
yes, thank you for 50 episodes.
And here's to 50 more.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We will see you on Monday with a brand new episode. And until then, keep it human.